Today on Real Radio.
If he says, we need to get an attorney, we're going to, this divorce, this and that, or many times they'll say, we don't need an attorney, honey, I'll take care of it. Oh, really? You weren't able to take care of this marriage, but now you're going to take care of the attorney? No way. I'm going to go get Johnny Cochran or whoever's out there, you know. You can do that to defend your home and not violate revenge. There's a big difference. If you've got children in that issue, in that marriage, you better defend those little ones.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible, a topical series based on scriptural wisdom that guides us believers in practical and godly living. Some of the titles in this series so far, Being a Christian in Your Home, in the Workplace, on Campus, and so forth. Well, recently, our teacher has been dealing with the issue of divorce and what Scripture says about it. And what we're about to hear is the next part of this series called Being a Christian and Surviving Divorce. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Because what God has brought together, no man should separate. And the more a person repeats that mantra of, well, you know what, I was ripped off, I was hurt, I was abused, or whatever the situation might be, you know the need to repeat that about every 60 seconds to make yourself feel better means that you haven't been healed by the power of God. And let me tell you tonight, God wants to heal you. This is step one. I don't have step two. This is just step one, so mark it down. I just wrote myself this little note. Step one, get on with it. Get on with it. Get on with what? Get on with this. Take the pain to Jesus, and if you need to, go have a good cry at the foot of the cross, but take it to Jesus. Are you hurting tonight because of a divorce? Go to Jesus. Go get alone. Get to the foot of the cross and cry out to him if you want, and leave it with him there. In Psalm 107, verse 20, what a great psalm this is. Psalm 107, verse 20 says that he, that is the Lord, sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. Maybe your life is doing great, but emotionally, spiritually, you're drying up because of the pain of a divorce. You need healing, and only God can give you that healing. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you're hurting tonight, you will not find. I don't care if you wind up meeting the Pope tomorrow night in his arms or some nun or whoever, some spiritual person, you're not going to find comfort in their arms. You won't be there. You can find the most spiritual person in the world. Oh, but he's so spiritual. Oh, she's so spiritual. And you're on the rebound of a divorce. Oh, I'm going to confide in them. Watch out. Are you a woman and you've suffered the pain of a divorce? Surround yourself with godly lady friends, Christian women who fear and love God. Very, very important. Guys, hey, if you're hurting, if you've suffered from a divorce, don't surround yourself with some woman who is going to counsel you on this. Get with godly men. Number two, on being a Christian and surviving a divorce is focusing. Not only healing, you're going to require time and effort to heal, but focusing on this. You will need to redirect your attention after you've gone through a divorce. So what do you mean by that? A divorce is they just don't happen. You don't wake up and there's a divorce. You have been either thinking, discerning, watching, feeling something for a long time that seemed a little off. And things began to escalate. Man, I tell you, I'll share this right now. Listen carefully for whatever it's worth. Too many times, a woman might come to me in the courtyard or something like that, and she'll say, I really need to talk to you. This is the situation. My husband, he's been working later and later hours. And then I've noticed, like in the last 3 weeks, there's been no sexual activity in our home. He doesn't desire me. and he's spending less and less time with the kids or less and less time at home, and I'm really concerned about him. And I say to her, and it's just, it doesn't matter who it is, it's just the same answer for me. You pull the string, and this is what I say. I want you to go home today, and I want you to walk up to him, and I want you to ask her what her name is. Whose name? The woman your husband's having an affair with. Oh, no, he wouldn't do that. Do you understand how many times we hear this? Oh, he wouldn't do that. And then a month, 2 months, 3 months later, when she's got the nerve, she'll ask him, and he'll say, it's almost 99%. He'll say, who told you? Divorces just don't happen. And when that feeling begins to creep in your life that something could be wrong, you begin to focus on the reality that this marriage could be over, and you're messed up, and you should be messed up. It's a horrible thing. It shouldn't be happening. I told you before, Billy Graham said that when two Christians who are married get a divorce, then the unbelievers who are watching those people seem to have justification for never coming to Christ. Think about that. If two Christians who look to God, who are born again, can't keep their marriage together, something's very wrong. Why should the world believe in Christ when that very sacred institution with two of his own kids doesn't work? Be careful, because you can begin to focus on all that stuff that went bad and was going bad and did and finally end bad, that now that you are on the other side of a divorce, you can be swallowed up with bitterness and you need to redirect your attention. Be very careful. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, the Bible says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of others. It is, and he says, listen to this, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. In our pain and in our anger, we can be focusing on the wrong thing and want to embark upon discipline and somehow bringing that person down that hurt you so badly. And God says, listen, I'll take care of you. And I'll take care of them. Watch out. Redirect and focusing is vitally important on your life now that you've been abandoned by divorce. Okay. I don't know how to say this, so I'm just going to say it the way I think it's got to come out. Ladies, I'm just talking to you tonight for a second. Ladies, listen. Did your husband leave you for someone else? Did your husband abandon you? Did he divorce you? Did he leave you? And you have kids? Do you have kids in your factor? Do you have kids in your situation? And he left you. Maybe he didn't want to be married to a Christian anymore, or maybe this, maybe that, but he's gone. What do you do now? You've got little ones. He's gone. Well, listen, some of you may have a hard time with this counsel, but here it comes. If he abandoned you and you've got kids, there is no contradiction with letting the Lord deal with the revenge. That's God's business. You understand that? You let God deal with him. But you've got to raise now little ones. And what you need to do is become the mama bear in that home. If you've been abandoned by a man, and you are now on that other end of divorce, you need to be the mama bear and protect your children against this crazy bear, this man that's gone off the deep end. Because far too many times we see a man who abandons the home, he winds up having second thoughts or selfish thoughts, some other kind of thoughts 6 months later, comes back into the home in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it's just visiting or whatever he does, and winds up turning the kids against the mother, and she winds up having nothing anymore. It's evil. It's just evil upon evil. You say, well, Pastor Jack, what do you mean by being the mama bear? Have you ever seen a mama bear take care of cubs when the big, dumb, grizzly bear dad comes in the area? Did you know that bears, I think they're called boars, aren't they, the male? I think it's called a boar. the male will actually kill his own babies, his own young. He's rogue, by the way. They go rogue, they go do their thing. And the mother, supposed to be the most fierce fight on American natural soil, is a grizzly bear mom taking on the grizzly bear dad. She takes him apart. And I'm saying to you, ladies, if your husband has abandoned you, cut him no slack. And I believe it's biblical. That guy wants to come and mess with the kids? Uh-uh. He wants to rob you so that he doesn't pay any money for those kids to be growing up? Uh-uh. Hey, buddy, you wanted to play? Now you pay. If he says, we need to get an attorney, we're going to, this divorce, this and that, or many times they'll say, we don't need an attorney, honey, I'll take care of it. Oh, really? You weren't able to take care of this marriage, but now you're going to take care of the attorney? No way. I'm going to go get Johnny Cochran or whoever's out there, you know. You can do that to defend your home and not violate revenge. There's a big difference. If you've got children in that issue, in that marriage, you better defend those little ones. This church and other churches are inundated because bum husbands have run out on their families and then they ditch on their alimony. And where do the kids and mom go? They got to come to the church. Well, thank God Barack Obama's in office because now they can go to him and get all their care and all their need. But they used to come to the church. It's amazing. In 1 Timothy 5:8, the Bible says, if anyone does not provide for his own, he's, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. By the way, if you're sitting here tonight and you owe alimony to your family, don't let me hear about it. I'll turn you in. I'll call the cops. It's illegal. It's illegal. And you have very, very strange views of being a man, in my opinion. Focusing on what's doing or what is going right and what should be right in the family is all important. Defending the family. Also honoring God. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord. Listen to this. There's three things that the Lord gives in Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. That's a great way of saying pray. Here's number two, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Number three, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So your barns, listen, have you been abandoned? Grab this verse. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That is God's responsibility to your life. If you've been abandoned, if you find yourself abandoned tonight, you seek God, you trust in him, you fear the Lord, and you honor him, and watch God take care of the rest. We also need to be focusing on what's righteous and what's just. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord, and that's the key, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. What an awesome promise of God. What would be the reason? So listen, this is where you find yourself tonight. You're divorced, and you're redirecting your attention. No longer am I grinding my teeth in hatred or anger or pain against this woman or against this man. You've given that to the Lord. Here's a question that comes up always about, well, I think I need to get married, remarried, married again. Why? Listen, I'm not saying no, and I'm not saying yes. I'm just saying why. Why? Listen. What would be the reason? I'm not being mean to you. I'm just sounding mean right now. I'm not being mean. What would be the reason for you to get married again? I wrote three things down. It's the only thing I could think of. Actually, not really. There's a fourth one, but I didn't want to put it on paper. Because the notes are uploaded and people can read them. So number one was fear of being alone. That's a big one, don't you think? Are you guys here tonight? Yeah. That's a big one, Pastor Jack. The fear of being alone. Okay. I think that's a legitimate one, but I'm a guy and I wrote it, so maybe it's not legitimate after all. I don't know. Being alone. Number two, the fear of missing out on life, that you're just going to feel like you're going to be living half a life. It's possible. Three, the fear of not being taken care of. Now, you may be some big burly man in here tonight. I got news for you. You think, oh, I don't need anybody in my life. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. But what are the reasons? Maybe you have your own reasons of why you should get married again. I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no, but what does the Bible say about your particular situation? Now, granted, remember, we have a short period of time to answer just a few questions tonight. But I want to put this out before you, and you're going to say, man, that just sounds so cliche. That sounds just so Christianese to say. But I want you to know I believe this. Everything that I think I could fill in about the fear or the need or the want of why I should get married again, I believe that everything that I'm looking for will be satisfied in an active, dynamic, spirit-filled Christian life. See, what are you talking about? I'm talking about any loneliness would be evaporated if I'm following God with all my heart. Now listen, I'm going somewhere with this. Well, what about feeling like you're living half a life? I wouldn't have that feeling if I'm living a radical, and I like to say a radicalized Christian life for God. I wouldn't be feeling like I'm living half a life. Well, what about personal needs? God can take care of my personal needs. I mean, why don't I just say it? If you're a guy, predominantly, because I can only speak from a guy, what about sex? What am I going to do? God can take care of that. Lord, you know me. I'm going to freak out. Help me. What do you think God will do? No, not going to help you. He will help you. I believe that everything that a marriage that's gone bad, I think, leaves me now void in that area, God fills that need. I believe it. Lisa and I, not too often, but I guess it comes up maybe once or twice a year, we will say things like this to each other. You know, if I die or if you die, what do you think? And we all have our things, and it changes with our ages. You know, it changes with age and time. But she'll say things like, well, I don't think I could ever, just the thought of dating somebody again and marrying somebody again and going through that again, I don't want to do that. And she said, well, Jack, what about you? And what if I died? What would you do? And I said, well, I've told you for the last 30 years, if you died, I'm moving to Hawaii. I'm going to sleep on the beach and hand out tracts. Aloha. But you think about these things. Just know this. If you find yourself tonight in that place of, oh my gosh, I'm half a human. My husband left me and now it's been 3 years and I'm just, what am I? Am I marked? Do I have a scarlet letter on my forehead? No. Your emotions may tell you that. Understand this. Everything that you need, God will provide. We've just not learned how to pursue Him as we ought to go after Him, like the Song of Solomon speaks about. It's amazing. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That should be the pursuit of every believer. Point number three tonight is this, being a Christian and surviving divorce. Number three, strengthening. You will want to strengthen your life if you've gone through a divorce. A divorced Christian, listen carefully, must fight harder against temptation as well as resist compromise in situations. A divorced Christian must fight harder against temptation, against compromise. What you want to be careful is that you don't, if you have been offended, or if you find yourself now in a divorce, you're hurt, you're angry, you have all these emotions going, you never want to jump from the fire into the frying pan by making some decision in weakness. You need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. King David did that. He was excellent about that. That he took the time to strengthen himself in the Lord. David was an amazing example, even though he's an Old Testament believer, You read the book of Psalms and you read about his life throughout Scripture, and you have amazing respect for David's New Testament relationship with God. It's amazing. David would get depressed. You could almost see him look down inside of his robe. He says, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. Hope in God. Why are you so depressed?" That's what the believer needs to be like. What's wrong with me? I'm sensing depression. I feel like my life's coming apart. I'm so weak. Talk to God. Go to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee sexual immorality." Those who were married before struggle with that temptation because they know what it's like. The comfort and the safety and the security of having a husband or a wife with them all those years, and now they're gone. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee sexual immorality." Every sin, listen to this, every sin that a man does is outside of the body. Listen, if you rob a bank, you're robbing a bank. It's a sin, but it's outside of your body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who's in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? Run from sexual temptation. Strengthen your life. How, Pastor Jack? Do the Joseph thing. Remember when Potiphar's wife grabbed Joseph? She grabbed him, and by the way, every day she would come to him and say, and it said that she'd cast longing eyes at Joseph. Okay, knowing Satan a little bit like I do, you think she was really good looking or ugly? You don't know the answer? She was good looking. We already know what Joseph looked like. The Bible says he was extremely handsome, super well built, and in Egypt, this Hebrew man who probably had incredible highlights in his sort of dark hair, because that's how they do, and he would have had blue or green eyes with olive skin. He's a Hebrew. And he's walking around and she's going, "Who is that?" Well, he works for your husband. He's your husband's right-hand man. And so when Potiphar's away, Potiphar's wife comes and she's casting longing eyes at him. "Joseph." And what's going on? All this stuff. He's getting bombarded by this woman. And listen, most men today would say, "Gosh, you know what? I tried to fight this off and Satan just overpowered me." Joseph knew his God was real. Joseph knew his God was there. And Joseph did not want to sin against his God. And Joseph ran. And you go, "Yeah, but read the fine print, Pastor Jack. He got in big trouble. He wound up getting caught and being thrown in prison, being falsely accused." Can you imagine what kind of trouble he would have gotten into if he wouldn't have run?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called "Being a Christian and Surviving Divorce." It's part of the Life and the Bible series, which we've been presenting here on Real Radio, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Now, we have had quite a bit of response regarding this series. Once again, it's called Life and the Bible. And what we heard on today's broadcast serves as a good example of what you'll hear throughout the series. Life and the Bible is now available for purchase on either CD or DVD. Visit us at realradioactive.org to learn more, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you'll also be able to click the graphic that tells you more about our television outreach called Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs is seen on television and the internet, and we invite you to see that as well. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.